And though there is probably a bona fide part two to the lesson, this is a sort of concluding some of the thoughts in this part where I thought I would have reached in this lesson, the lesson this morning. And what you probably realize is that even along the way, I just cut out some parts, all right? So I'm just going to use the next few minutes to conclude some of the thoughts that were there from this morning, or parts that I had left out. But as is our tradition, I will invite, if there are any questions from the lesson this morning that anyone would like to raise, then we will accommodate it at this time before we do the concluding thoughts. Okay. All right. I see no hands or indication. All right. So I will proceed. The board gives me a good opportunity to summarize for those who may not have been here. So while we were talking about inheritance and the fact that, in a sense, even though we are not like Jesus Christ, who is a natural heir, in a sense, by birth, we too inherit a birthright as Christians, because we have been born again into the family of God. The lesson this morning highlighted that though we have this birthright, all right, we scanned the history of God's dealing with mankind, and we recognize that though we possess this birthright, while we are entrusted with this naturally, not something we earn, but we get it by sonship, we have to at the same time still be vigilant. We still have to be careful, because in the midst of this birthright, there is a need sometime to cast off or to cast out. All right, and while this part is not so much us, but from the perspective of God, when God has a purpose, then even though our birthright dictates some things, God can change how that unfolds. And we saw that dramatically in the case of Ishmael and Isaac, where by the law and by the agreement that God had with the children of Israel, well, or his dealings with mankind, that Ishmael, being the first offspring, would have been the natural heir. But because he was not the child of promise, then he was cast out. And that dramatizes the fact that God is sovereign, and we must accept God for who he is and what he dictates. But beyond that, we have to be careful that I don't preach about the sermon. Beyond that, we have to recognize that what it demonstrates is that we can't allow things in opposition to God's will and purpose to coexist. And so we have a casting out to do ourselves. So we made the point that, where, and the Bible talks about it, God and Mammon. We cannot serve both. And so it's either we are going to love one and hate the other, and so we must always choose God. We also made the application in respect to denominations and false doctrine. We cannot, as a church, because we want to accommodate persons, bring in false teachings into the church and say, that's okay. You know, we can't say, well, you know, in this day and age, you know, we have to entertain the youths. And so we have to introduce things like holy dance, you know, or we have to bring in instruments of music into the worship to get things exciting. You know, we have to be careful. In fact, we cannot accommodate them. And so whatever is against God's will, our approach is cast it off. And so that was a principle that we spoke about. But beyond that, we saw in the case of Esau and Jacob, Esau in particular, that he sold out, all right, his birthright, all right. And so sometimes it is not even the bigger macro picture, but our individual reality that causes us to lose our birthright when we do not value things spiritual. We don't place a high premium on our Christianity. Then we can make small things our immediate cravings and desires, can cause us to sell out our Christianity. And so we have to be careful where that is concerned. And the last area that we looked at is that we can lose out on our birthright by virtue of our own actions. All right, so we are not outrightly somewhat, you know, it's not selling out like what we saw with Esau, but by our action, we can disqualify ourselves from being of use in kingdom service. All right, and this is where I started to chop, all right, to get to certain points. So I want to pick up back there in the case of Jacob speaking to his children at his last days. All right, so if we have a reader, we can go back to Genesis chapter 49, verse 1 to 4, and have that read again. All right, so we were introduced to Reuben, Simeon, Levi. All right, so we have other children of Leah, Jacob's first wife, that are mentioned in the text, and we probably need to marry that with Genesis chapter 35. All right, but could we read?
Genesis 49.
Genesis 49, we're picking up at verse 1.
And Jacob called unto his sons,
yes,
and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days.
Yeah.
Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob.
All right, pause there for me. All right, so he's talking to his sons. All right, in Genesis 35, hold that, we're going to come back. In Genesis 35, it sort of gives us an idea. Well, it says it beautifully in Exodus chapter 1, but let's read Genesis 35 in terms of listing the children. Let's have Genesis 35, verse 22.
Genesis 35, 22.
That's right.
And it came to pass, when Israel dwelt in that land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine. And Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12.
All right, pause there. All right, so this just emphasizing that we're talking about the same issue. All right? But what I like about chapter 35 is that it lists the children of the sons. So the sons of Leah were Reuben. All right, read.
Genesis 49.
Verse 23.
After Genesis 35,
verse 23. Yes,
the sons of Leah.
So the sons of Leah, that's the first wife, were
Reuben, Jacob's firstborn,
right,
and Simeon,
and Levi,
and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun, the sons of Rachel.
Okay, so those were the sons of Leah. All right. Now the sons of
Rachel. Joseph and Benjamin.
I mentioned it, but I wanted to delve in it a little bit more. Clearly, Jacob had a preference for Rachel's children. Rachel was the love of his life. It is Rachel that he wanted to marry to in the first place. But he was tricked and ended up being married to Leah. Jacob loved Joseph so much. You remember that, you know, the coat of many colors that we learn in Sunday school? So Joseph was really special. Coupled with that, Joseph in the long run went through a big ordeal. So remember, no, he was a favorite. He went through a big ordeal and became governor. The world. So he ended up, he became the top, the head. The only person who was over him was Pharaoh himself. So he was in charge, and when by his influence, the whole tribe and lineage of Jacob got their freedom, Joseph was put in charge of all of that. So now that Jacob is at his last days and he is going to pronounce how the birthright is going to be handled, one would think that Joseph would have been featured. But no, he wasn't. In the church, and this is something that, again, we need to apply. In preparing this lesson, in a sense, I was saying that there were certain nuggets of truths and principles that I think as Christians we can hold on to. Here is one. In the church, and when we are dealing with God's business, we can't allow favoritism to cause us to shape our decisions. We must always stick to the principles that God has set out for us. And we are going to make some applications in a little while. So, we can't allow family ties to influence how we deal with our decisions and how we select leadership. We can't allow, we can't put our sons or our wives into areas of responsibility because they are our spouse and our children. Jacob, as much as he loved Joseph, and he was special, the firstborn of his true love, he recognized that in respect to the birthright, the inheritance, he still had to respect what God had set out. Now, of course, we this morning highlighted that Reuben disqualified himself. Did Jacob now say, the firstborn disqualify himself, so let me then choose who I want, Joseph, or who I would like, who is my favorite, or who is the most popular, who is the societal age where they were was top of top? No. Reuben being out of the picture, he now had to look to Simeon. And then we saw in Genesis 29 the commentary concerning Simeon as well as Levi. And so they too disqualified themselves by their action. I need not repeat that they had issues ranging from being cruel to not being able to manage their anger to the point where they murdered. All right, and it's very telling that God looked seriously at how they dealt with others, because they actually killed someone. That in the sight of God and Jacob and was honorable. And that too is another nugget. We need to always be careful how we treat with God's people. Somebody who we get angry with or we do not like, we can't afford to push cruelty, anger, and hurt to them, because God takes it personally. And so they disqualify themselves by their action. One could argue, well, Reuben messed up, Simeon messed up, Levi messed up, and Musk can't choose anybody. But what did Jacob do? He continued down the line. And who was selected to have the birthright? Judah. Judah. And we know from whose lineage Jesus Christ came. The lineage of Judah. And so it is no mistake. God has his plan. But the point I wanted to make there is that we need to be very careful in the church. Amen. How we treat with the principles that are set out. As I said, I'll make some further applications later. All right, so I jumped that. That was about what? Five to 10 minutes there this morning. Okay, but it is important for us to note that whether it is that in respect to our birthright, if it is that it's cast out because of God's plan, in respect to our birthright, if it is that we by our own action sell out our birthright, if we lose out on our birthright because of our own actions, I want to leave with us that we may be disqualified from some things, but never give up hope. Can I say that again? Though we may disqualify ourselves or be disqualified from certain work or activities in the kingdom, let us never give up hope. That's a lifeline. On what basis do you say this, Brother Webb? Well, if I can bring in a new character, David. Inspiration tells us that he had bloody hands. And for this reason, the work of worship, the building of the temple, he was disqualified from participating or let me not use the word that participate, from the one to build the temple. But you know what happened? Even though God says, you have murdered too many, your hands are too bloody, David still wanted to do something towards that grand objective of God. I know what he did. He placed material, put material in place so that when his son would then come to build the temple, a lot of things were already in place. What's the point? We can still have hope in service to God, even if we are disqualified because of principles that God has established. Can I come back to one of our case studies? Go back to Ishmael. Ishmael could not coexist with Isaac, the child of the bond woman and the child of the free woman could not coexist in the same space. If we delve into that study, we realize that Hagar and Ishmael were literally kicked out of the house. Not in favorable weather condition. Cast out. But here is it. Even though they were cast out, God protected them. Ishmael did not die. Our God still provided safety and protection even to him who was cast out. You know, we had made the analogy in respect to denominations. If it is that we have to separate ourselves from error and denominations, let us be mindful that we still have an opportunity to win them to God, to bring them into the fold. But what is clear, we cannot coexist, but we can convert them. There's nothing, just as we can convert a person to Christ, we can convert an entire congregation to Christ. We can convert an entire denomination to Christ if we work at it. If we have courage enough to tackle it, God can give us the wherewithal to do so. There is hope. So even though we are told to cast off, let us be mindful, just as Ishmael could not coexist with Isaac, the same house, but he was not destroyed. Another case study of Reuben. He lost his birthright. What do we know of Reuben? Even though he lost his birthright, he was still able to serve as ruler in one of the tribes of Israel. So though he lost out on his birthright because of his own action, it does not mean that there isn't a service that we can do in kingdom, albeit we are disqualified in one particular area. You get the picture? Esau, he lost his birthright. Well, he sold out his birthright. He was sorry about what happened. He repented to the point that he wept. He solicited his father's help. But again, the principle must hold. But we want to recognize that even though Esau lost his birthright, he had a role to play in the family. And in the long run, he became an ally, a support to Jacob. So even though he lost out because he sold out, he still had a role to play in God's business. Levi, yes, himself and Simeon were in the same category. Well lined up to get the birthright. However, though disqualified, it was Levi and the tribe of Levi that God committed the priesthood. The very important aspect of the entire law system. So integral it was that a change of the priesthood demanded a change also of the law and vice versa. They are that intertwined, important. All the worship that the children of Israel would have to do year on year, month on month, the Levi tribe played a critical role in it. So critical, they didn't even have to work otherwise to farm any land and rear any animals. The other tribes would support them, even though he did not get the birthright. He had a role in God's business. By virtue of how we are born, there are certain things we are automatically disqualified from. Women, by virtue of being woman, you do not have the responsibility for leadership in the church. So there is no elders, bishopess, presbyterianist,
deaconess.
All right. The leadership of the church has been vested in men. Listen now. That by virtue of the sex that you were born will cause you not to be leader in the church does not disqualify you from service in the church. Your birthright, does you still have hope. You still have a role to play in the church. And what a role you have. Can we do a count? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. six, seven meals present right here. And this is probably a good ratio. How many females? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. All right. And that's one of the narrowest. All right. There is without doubt that the accomplishment of any local congregation is heavily dependent on what the sisters do in the church.
True.
The support they give, the motivation they give, the active things they do, albeit that they are not given the leadership role, because that's God's business. Now, to take on the role will cause you to be cast out.
Well,
because that's God's business. Men, by virtue of us being men, we lose out on the important, lovely role of bearing children, of nurturing them. You know what? This is not in Bible, but you know, the hands that rock the cradle rules the world. Have we heard that? There is no greater influence on the children and on the next generation as the woman. And a step up as the man may do and be, he can never take over and supersede that nurturing role that mothers demonstrate. That special type of patience. You know, we can learn, and some will do more than others, you know. But what it is naturally, because we were so born. Our role is a different role. But that is not to say that because mother is present, then as a man, I do not have a role to play in the life of my child. We might not be playing or doing the role of mother, but we have the role of provider. That stern hand that intervenes. That example to our daughters as to what to look for in a husband. I think I heard Karen say that last week, or not so long ago. So what's the point? Even though we might be cast out, even though we might have sold out, even though we might lose out by our own actions, we should still have hope. We should still have hope. Let me close with Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 through 12. That highlights that the inheritance we receive it because of what our experiences calls for. You see, there's hope, there is faith, and there is patience. Let's have Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 to 12.
Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous,
yes,
to forget your work,
yes,
and labor of love,
yes,
which ye have showed toward his name,
mm-hmm,
in that ye have ministered to the saints.
Yes.
And do minister.
Here was another nugget. Here's another nugget, you know. I have the primary lesson, but there are some nuggets. Ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. You know what that's saying to us? We should continue to serve in the church. It says, you have ministered, good. But don't let it be a past tense thing. Always be doing it. Continue to minister. Continue to serve in the church. Don't let the commentary be, oh, I used to do. 10 years ago, this is what me used to do. What are you doing now? Are you still visiting? Are you still being evangelistic? Are you still encouraging to the brethren? Are you building up one another? These are things that should be said that, yes, it's counted good that you have ministered. But I like the last phrase. And do minister. Meaning that you continue to do what is good. That's another nugget. Continue reading. Verse 11.
Verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end.
To the full assurance of hope. That's what I want to latch onto. Remember, for the last 10 or so, 15 minutes, we have been saying, even though cast out, even though sold out, even though you have lost out, still have hope. And that's what we're seeing echoed here, that we should still have the full assurance of hope. Though down, still have hope. And verse 12.
That ye be not slothful.
Be not slothful.
But followers of them.
But followers of them.
Who through faith.
Who through faith.
And patience.
And patience.
Inherit the promises.
Inherit the promises. I know what this is saying to me. We, though not having birthright. You know, this is a little tricky part of the lesson. Because birthright is what you are born into. And though we sort of drew in ourselves into that birthright, we have not gotten our inheritance because we were born naturally. Yes? But here it is. By our action, by faith, and by patience, we inherit the promise. So we can get inheritance even though we are not like Jesus Christ, because we exercise faith and patience. And it's interesting when you continue to study the whole issue of inheritance, that we can get inheritance even though we were not physically born of God like Jesus. We can get the rewards just like Jesus Christ, even though we were not physically born into the family. But the point, as I end, we, though cast out, though we have sold out, though we have lost out, we should still continue to have hope. We can still be of service to Almighty God and to kingdom, even though we may be disqualified from certain areas in the kingdom's work. let us think on these things. And let us be assured, because we have hope for a greater tomorrow. We have hope of inheriting eternal life because of Jesus Christ and our obedience to Him.